following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Have you ever been that lonely guy standing in the corner of a bar, lacking the confidence to approach a beautiful woman or even defend yourself if needed? Well, this is the book for you. Barjitsu, the American art of bar fighting, filled with tips, techniques, and stories aimed to help you become the barroom stud that you've always wanted to be. Pick up your copy of Barjitsu, the American art of bar fighting, online or at a bookstore near you.
Pre-order Barjitsu, the American art of bar fighting, now on Amazon through barjutsu.com. That's barjutsu.com. Also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Hey, this is Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man. That's right, the world's most dangerous man. And also the first heavyweight champion of MMA. And the first King of Pancras champion of the world. Y'all listening to the Shining Wizards.
Like the end of Raw, we've got a action-packed show for you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Is your microphone on?
It is. You know what? I was really low
during
the last episode, too. But there wasn't much room on the couch for me to get situated, because usually I kind of sit like, I kind of lounge out and I hang out. But with the extra guys there, I didn't have a ton of room, so I kind of
Are you
like,
saying they're fat?
No, definitely. They're the extra guys, dude. They're in shape.
So you're saying you're fat?
Yes, that's not up for debate, though. But I cut... Usually, I move the microphone all around, and I just couldn't find a good spot to put it.
I could suggest a few.
Ideally, in front of my mouth, but sometimes that doesn't really work out so well.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by the one and only Charles Patrick Cobb.
Good evening.
Eddie died. No, Eddie didn't die. Kevin died. Eddie is in the hospital with the HIV, so we're down two men tonight. But Pat was wonderful enough to grace us with his presence. Welcome back, sir. How you been?
Been all right. I can't complain.
You look good.
Thank you. I've been dieting.
Lifting weights? You look a little thinner.
I'm out of the gym. Out of the gym.
Oh.
I was up to about 230. Now I'm down to about 215, so...
Oh, I was going to ask if that's when you were going to the dentist. 2:30? Anyway.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
I am sitting in the studio tonight wearing my Steve the Turtle Whiner shirt that I bought from ProWrestlingTees.com, and I got to tell you, it looks pretty damn good.
I also have my Chuck Taylor t-shirt that I purchased? Jesus.
Purchased?
Hasn't even started. No, from ProWrestlingTees.com. And Pat has the nifty new Shining Wizard logo t-shirt that he purchased on prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards. That's a lie. He's wearing a Jets sweatshirt.
Over a Captain America t-shirt, so.
We've got...
Winner.
Three great shirts now. We've got our Be a Mark shirt. We've got our NWO Shining Wizards Network shirt. And, of course, the old school logo. We don't have too many of the Kick logos left, by the way, so if you're looking for one of those, I suggest getting it now before we run out. Quite a few of the sizes, we're only down to about one or two of each, so head on over to shiningwizards.com/merch.html and get some merch.
I'm going to guess small and medium, you could pretty much get as much as you want.
Actually, we still have a lot of 3XL. As well as small and medium, so...
Really?
So if you need something for your couch...
Jackass. You know what we're really bad at? Not announcing our guests.
No, we are. We were getting to that, dude. Relax.
I feel like that should be like the first thing we announce. Like, we did last week, we did the Ken Shamrock interview.
Yes.
And we all did the corporation. He was in that, right? Or was he just in the union?
I think he was in the corporation for a while, wasn't he?
I think so. But we kind of made reference like no one was Ken Shamrock. And then we went for like 15 minutes before even mentioning that he was on the podcast.
People, dude, we mentioned it all week on Facebook. If you're friends with us on Facebook, if you saw the website, you knew that Ken Shamrock was going to be on.
Yeah,
Christ, we were talking about it before we talked to J.J. Dillon, for God's sakes.
I feel like Facebook is entering the MySpace territory.
Oh, no. People are leaving? Patrick?
I don't feel like it's, I don't know.
It's not doing it for you? Princess Vespa? That's a good reference, right?
MySpace was replaced.
MySpace?
MySpace was replaced by Facebook.
Right. Yes.
There's no replacement right now for... I don't see the announcement.
What about Twitter?
Tout.
Or Tout?
Yes.
Or what's...
Tout? You're way ahead of the curve.
Vine. Vine, I think, is becoming...
Is that the 6-second videos?
Yes.
I thought that was Snapchat.
No, Vine videos. They're 6-second things, right?
Well, Snapchat is a 6-second thing.
Well, I don't know. I don't do any of it. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on... I get in too much trouble when I get on Facebook.
Yes.
And then
you
guys get blacklisted by professional wrestlers, so...
Yes. What? Yep.
But that never really... That never really happened.
No, nothing happened.
Nope.
Kayfabe that.
Yeah, so we're talking to JT Dunn, the Juice. When I saw the Juice, I thought it was Juventude at first, but...
Well, you can bring that up with him. I
shan't be doing that, sir.
Why?
I don't want to insult our guests.
It's not an insult. Maybe he stole the gimmick from Juventude.
Maybe he bought it from him, like the Patriot sold his gimmick to Sal Sincere. Oh, is that kayfabe? I didn't know.
And then we also have one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, Kyle O'Reilly.
He's the better half, right?
He'll be joining us.
They still do that?
What's that?
Tag team wrestling?
In Ring of Honor, they do actually quite a bit.
Nice. Another group called Data East also does tag team wrestling, but they only have two teams.
Data East.
Yes, one is Ricky's Fighters, and I forget the other one.
Didn't they make like Nintendo games back in the day?
Tag team wrestling.
Really?
Yes.
I think that was the reference. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ricky's Fighters.
They also made RoboCop the video game and Darkman the video game.
Yeah, Data
East. It was pretty much the same game.
Yeah, that's, you know. It is what it is.
Thanks, Tony, for dragging us down into fucking obscure reference land.
You said dragon.
Red Dragon. That's the tag team that Kyle O'Reilly is part of.
See, there you go.
Full circle.
Look at that.
Full circle.
Did you partake in any Monday Night Raw last night?
Yes, I did. And really?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
All right. Here's a couple things that I do remember because I don't watch the whole thing. I usually tune in around 9. And then between 9 and 11, I'm kind of updating the website.
9/11.
The Shining Wizards Network. We had Neckbreaker. And
9/11.
Just incredible show, by the way. Got featured on Audio Boo, his latest episode with Terry Funk. So, yay, Shining Wizards Network.
Of course, fucking Terry Funk.
But I digress. Oh, let me clean off my sausage fingers. So, anyway... That was a Phil reference because you get annoyed when I talk about my kindred spirit and say that I digress and whatnot.
Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Go.
So Curtis Axel is your reigning Intercontinental Champion, and he takes on Dolph Ziggler, and he beats Dolph clean. And fucking everybody on Facebook is like, oh, my God. Dolph Ziggler lost to Curtis Axel? Yeah. But here's the funny thing. Curtis Axel's the Intercontinental Champion. Everybody bitches that all the lesser title champions lose all the time, and this guy fucking wins, defends his title successfully, cleanly, I might add, and people are bitching that Dolph Ziggler lost. Are you going to... what's it going to take to let people win?
Excuse me.
Are you farting?
No. Did you watch Raw last week when Curtis Axel lost to Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, so he won. All's right with the world.
All's not right with the world.
What?
That's...
Oh, you're going back to your 50-50 booking argument.
I don't have the 50-50 booking argument.
Argument.
I feel like that's Eddie's big thing. But, I mean, it's true. It's 50-50 booking. What's the point of Dolph pinning him only to come back and lose a week later?
Well, was the match where Dolph pinned him a non-title match?
I don't know.
Did that earn him a title shot this week on Raw?
That's just the fucking worst.
That's stupid.
No, because if that's what happened, that was always the way the NWA was booked. The champion would always fucking lose to the challenger, and then when the title was on the line, the champ would find a way to win. That I do not mind.
Yes, but on the NWA program and even later WWF stuff, it was blatantly told to you, this is a non-title match, and if so-and-so wins, they're the number one contender. There's been numerous Intercontinental Championship matches, United States
just get rid of the number one contender bullshit. It's just so stupid
it
to me.
It is dumb.
Either go all in and like list rankings and, you know, like have people fight over the spot.
TNA does that.
It's just, that's fine. That's the one thing I like about them then, I guess. But the fucking number one contender, come on.
Well, if you thought this Intercontinental match was a pile of dog shit, did you see how they're fucking bringing this bullshit from Total Divas to life? With fucking Tyson Kidd and Natalya getting into it
because Johnny
Swinger was training with I'm sorry, Fandango.
Go ahead, Tony. Back to the Dolph Ziggler thing. I think the problem is he shouldn't be wrestling for the Intercontinental title. That's more of a problem than the 50-50 booking.
Why?
Because he's above that. He's
Pedro
that
Morales
title.
Was allegedly above it, and he went for that title after he lost the world title.
Just shut up about Pedro Morales, okay? No,
Pedro Morales fucking rules the roost, bro.
It's apples and oranges.
Two-time.
It's apples and oranges. Dolph Ziggler should. The problem is Dolph Ziggler is wrestling for the Intercontinental
title. First Triple Crown winner ever.
Okay, now you can talk about divas. The girl with the red hair is the hottest thing on the face.
So the girl with the red hair was training with Tyson Kidd in one
Lover.
Ring. And Natalya was training with Fandango in the other ring. And Pat just hurt himself. And apparently, Tyson Kidd got jealous. So there was this whole big spat on Total Divas, which now they played out in the ring on Monday in a match between Tyson Kidd and Fandango.
How far in advance is Total Divas? It's months, right?
Who cares? Sure.
Yeah,
if
but
it is, it
you
is.
Have to make it line up to have. If the episode aired today.
Why are you giving me programming tips? This is what I'm telling you.
I'm not giving you programming
Raw.
Tips. I'm just saying it's not that that show bled over into reality. It's all scripted.
Yeah, but they're trying to make something on a fucking reality show part of wrestling.
What are you, retarded? It's reality show is like. It's wrestling.
It's not
all
a reality
scripted
show.
Bullshit.
Really? Why are you yelling into the microphone?
Because you are a retard. That's why.
Thanks.
Yeah, the monitor just dropped out.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Because Matt.
So you're surprised that reality TV show would dare cross into the world of professional wrestling?
No, I just think it's dumb. Like, why does that show have to have any kind of, like, fucking, like, storyline in the wrestling ring?
Because you're trying to grab the dumb fans that are watching this Total Divas bullshit.
Nobody cares.
No, because people do care. There's probably like, I don't know, half a dozen people that watched Total Divas that watched Monday Night Raw last night to see what the redheaded broad was going to do.
And she didn't do anything.
Oh, see, I don't even know.
So Fandango wins, and the fucking crowd in England goes apeshit ballistic doing the da-da. Da, da, da,
you're welcome for that. I was there. Da, I helped create it. You're welcome.
Yeah, you and about 10,000 foreigners.
Yeah, they were mostly from England.
Might as well call Monday Night Raw is retarded because it was all handicap matches. It was literally all handicap matches. It was the main event was The Shield against Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Welcome everyone to Monday Night Tard.
Monday Night Retard. Cum tastes like bleach. Sure does, Pat. Yeah, so then who was it? Randy Orton had to take on Gold Dust the Rhodes or shits, whatever they call him now. And who was it? Cesaro and We the People had to take on John Cena. And of course John Cena kicks out of every fucking possible move.
Super
and actually wins the match. And Daniel Bryan and CM Punk were holding their own, and then the Harper family comes out, which I'm sure you got a boner over.
The Wyatt family.
Whatever. Same shit. Luther Vandross. And
are you thinking Harper Valley PTA right there?
Yes.
What were you?
So they come out, and the fucking Shield and the Wyatt family get into a scuffle, and the crowd is just eating it up and fucking going, this is awesome. And then all six of them turn their attention to Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And just as that's about to go down, here come the tag champs and here come the Usos, and we got an old-fashioned 6-on-6 brawl. And I bet you that's leading to a match at Survivor Series.
I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind it either.
I feel like
they miss the old school shit.
Do more traditional Survivor Series matches at Survivor Series.
As opposed to doing traditional Survivor Series matches.
No, because they don't. They
Let's
have one
table, ladders, and chairs.
They do like the one where Sin Cara gets hurt. And then it's all like singles and tag matches. It's not, you know, all Survivor Series matches. Granted, things aren't the way they used to be. The storylines don't really intertwine like they did back in the
like they
the
did
late
on
80s.
Total Divas and Raw.
Right. Where you were surprised that such a crazy thing happened.
It's just fucking annoying. Because
I think Total Divas is a good idea. I don't mind that.
Yeah, but they have shows like the Main Event where matches take place and mean nothing in the grand scheme of the WWE universe. And then they have a reality show, which is just about like five or six women that they follow around. And they try to like bring some soap opera shit. And I don't mean like, oh, wrestling's a soap opera. Ooh. I mean like, oh, everybody's all romantically involved. And John Cena is talking to the Bellas about, oh, do you really want to spend the rest of your life with Daniel Bryan?
Ooh. Like, ooh, I have a... Did you know? I didn't watch it, but I saw a clip. During a Total Divas... Yeah.
Are you just getting all this out of the way for the interview, or are you just warming up for the interview?
During the Total Divas, John Cena tells a story to one of the other divas that he shit his pants in the ring because he was sick.
Why he wears cargo pants?
No.
Jorts, baby.
Jorts?
I don't know.
I thought it was funny, though. I laughed my ass off. I'm not the only guy that shits his pants.
Following in the steps of Sid and Gino Caruso.
And Randy.
See, this would have been a good place to play Randy Shit His Pants last year.
Did you have the sound? You just opened the soundboard?
I just opened it. We were too involved, bro.
Too involved.
Who are we talking to first? Aren't we calling somebody calling
JT
us?
JT Dunn is going to call us soon.
Okay, so it's just about that time, though. Should we take a break?
We can take a break.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be on the line with JT Dunn.
This is Mike Norenganger, and before there was Facebook, before Blu-ray, and before cell phones, there was the last old-school generation. Join me and my co-host, Adam Henning, on The Midnight Jury as we take you on a trip back to the 80s and 90s. We debate pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, all from WLW Studio South in Philadelphia. Let us transport you back to that last old-school generation and join in our debate on The Midnight Jury. You can find us at facebook.com/WLW Studios, and we are available on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio for the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is pro wrestling savior. He's the last survivor of the Dave Cole Dojo. He is the one and only JT Dunn, the Juice.
Standing fucking ovation. Look at that.
I don't think I emphasized the extra E's on the end. I feel like, yeah, I slighted you. I'm sorry.
He's juicy.
Doesn't the juice come before? It's the juice.
It's only extra E's on Twitter because somebody else stole my handle. So
I bet you it was Steve Weiner.
E's on it. Yeah, probably.
Is it the juice, JT Dunn, or JT Dunn the juice?
Did you say juice?
JT Dunn.
Oh, okay. He's clearing that up. He's got to make sure for the WWW.
Oh, yeah.
The interweb. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well. I feel fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Fine, because we're not working with Denver, Colorado. No, we missed Drew. We had him on the show a while ago. We got to get him back on. He's a riot to talk to.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. I like having that dude in my life.
Gives a hell of a hummer, too, right?
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to go right down that road. We're not
yes,
even going to...
Yes, we are.
Oh, well, JT, you picked a great night to call in to this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
man.
Have good timing, so let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, for those of you guys out there not familiar with JT Dunn, we were introduced...
A lot of people.
I feel like that's changing in the near future. We first discovered you. A couple of us made a road trip up to Beyond Wrestling about last year in February, the Off the Grid show, which ironically enough, I believe was your first show too. And we got to witness you against you were in tag team action against the Super Smash Brothers. And that was the first time we got to see JT Dunn. Fast forward about a year and a half, we've kept our eye on you, and you really have just taken off in the world of professional wrestling, especially in the last couple months. You've had amazing bouts with Chuck Taylor, Sanjay Dutt, Johnny Gargano, Michael Elgin. It's just been a whirlwind for you. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel bad that you guys haven't seen me at all off the grid against the Smash Brothers. That was in the worst shape of my life at that point. I want to say I was around 203 pounds. I was just grotesque. And mentally, I wasn't anywhere where I'm at now. But in the last year and a half, I've really found myself. I've been able to just kind of find out who I am in wrestling and outside of it. And it's led me to be blessed with so many opportunities here in wrestling. At this point in my life, all I want to do is professionally wrestle. And I've been able to share the ring with some of the best going. Like you said, Gargano, Elgin, Sanjay, Chuck Taylor. And just 2 weeks ago, I wrestled Eddie Edwards. And it's just been phenomenal. The reception I've got from wrestling fans and the wrestling community, it's mind-blowing. I always dreamt of getting to a point like this where I'd be able to watch myself grow and develop a good fan base and be able to have a positive influence on professional wrestling. But it's exactly what I thought it was. I thought it was just a dream. And now I'm living it, and it's just surreal. And I'm taking it one day at a time and just enjoying the ride.
I just want to ask you, when you described yourself at 203 pounds, you used the word grotesque.
Yeah.
Would that put us at?
Well, for me, I'm 5'10", and right now I'm 172 pounds.
Nice.
And, at that point, I was dating another wrestler, and I just kind of got comfortable.
What was his name?
Stop.
Denver, Colorado.
That sly dog.
I got real comfortable in a relationship, and I kind of just plumped up. And for me, I've always been a skinny guy, like roughly around like 140 pounds, like when I first started wrestling. So for me to break 200, that was just crazy. And I actually saw a picture the other day of me and Superfly Player Dose locking up, and I just looked at myself, and it was like I wanted to throw up. I just looked so gross and so out of shape, and I'm very happy that working out and nutrition and diet has become a very vital part of my life.
Yeah, I look at Matt, and I want to throw up too.
GDP no. Yoga, brother.
Dude, we have both been rocking it, Matt and myself, and actually it's funny that you say you looked at yourself when you were at 200 pounds, dude, I was almost at 300 pounds at one point. And I think it was Eddie who actually saw my picture and he goes, Jesus, Tony, he's like, and your wife still married you. But honestly, like Matt lost a lot of weight on DDP yoga. I've lost a ton of weight. We've got guys that we're friends with that are all still doing the DDP yoga and lost a ton of weight. Jesus, now I'm talking like Matt, a ton of weight. So, I mean, it's no joke. That stuff is the real deal. How long you been on the program?
I started it probably like around the first time it started coming out, but I didn't use it as much as I should have. And now I use it for a long time. I would say probably for like 4 months straight, just every day religiously. And now I don't as much. I use it every once in a while. The majority of the time I use it is actually right before I wrestle. I'll kind of just take like a half hour to myself, go find some room and just do some DDP yoga because I have a lot of the stuff memorized. And I'll just warm myself up and stretch out. And it really gets your mind right to go out there and wear some tights. So I kind of do it there, but I'm religious in the gym. I'm there twice a day, just cardio and with my workout plan. So I want to get back to doing the yoga a lot more than I do right now.
Yeah, awesome. I can relate to the knowing it word for word. Occasionally I just walk around and I just go, superstar.
No, mine is inhale tension, at ease.
I love when he's like, now Hulk it out, brother.
He's like, what a rush.
It does get a bit much, especially when he adjusts his back. He's like, stretching. Oh, just adjusted my back. And you're like, all right.
There's one
it.
Point he adjusts his back and he goes, I love that. And then he goes, good job. And I'm like, what? That shit always cracks me up. I guess I'm the only one that cracks up from it. Yes, Matthew?
Oh, so anyway, before you mentioned that you weren't in a state of mind and you were at your worst. Well, you have done some past interviews on podcasts and, you know, the dirt sheets. And you talk a little bit about your addiction with drugs and alcohol. Where did that moment come where you decided it was time to get your shit together and you just needed to go forth and make yourself right?
Yeah, I'll definitely talk about that. It was actually for a while. I kept it to myself, and I've just recently kind of come out with it and try to help other people. I'm currently writing a book about it. Well, not just about that, but about my life. I feel like I've had an interesting life, and I want people to hear my story so that it helps them. I'm not looking for like fame or publicity or anything like that. I really just want to help people. But I would say I started taking drugs and alcohol around 14 years old. I lost my mother in 2004, and I was a mama's boy. Like, I grew up with my mom. I was surrounded by her, surrounded by women in my life. So losing her, it felt like the end of the world to me, and I kind of wanted to escape reality. And I just started using drugs and alcohol, very soft stuff at first, nothing major. But I lived in a bad neighborhood where that stuff was very acceptable. And I also played football, and I was a starting football player on my varsity team. So in my area, if you're a football player, it's like whatever you want, whenever you want it, you can kind of get it at any point. So I used that to my benefit, and I just got my hands on as much stuff as I possibly could. And then going forward in my senior year of high school, my grandmother passed away, who was literally the only woman I had left that meant something to me, with the exception of my younger sister. So then it got intense. And then I had lost my football scholarship because I got hurt my senior year. So it was like all those things combined at once, and just like trying to escape life. I was doing a lot of mixture of things. And then once I graduated high school, I went to college to play football. And just like the transition from being at home and kind of doing, following a schedule because my dad was a douchebag. And then having the freedom where nobody's checking in on me. Like, if I wanted to be fucked up 24/7, I could, and there was nothing nobody was going to tell me. So I just took that for granted and did that. And then I started training to be a wrestler, and, maybe about 3 months in, I broke my face and had to have some surgery done. I had to have a titanium plate put on the right side of my face. And right after my surgery, they prescribed me with like Vicodin 2, which I didn't even know was a real thing. But I had a year prescription of like 2, and I could refill as much as I wanted to, because breaking your face is sustained as a trauma, as like a bullet wound or a burn victim. So
I have to stop you. I have to stop you. How did you break your face? What it was training for pro wrestling, not amateur.
Yes. Okay. No, not amateur. I had stopped the amateur wrestling when I left high school. But I was training for pro wrestling, and I was in a match, and the guy I was wrestling with probably had just about as much training as I did, and we should have never been in the ring, and I really didn't feel comfortable. And he gave me a choke slam. And it was a very unsafe way to do it, and he just kind of dropped me on my neck, and my body doubled over, and my knee came down on my face and broke everything. Broke my forehead, my orbital bone, my eye socket, my nose, my jaw, and my cheek.
I think everyone here almost just threw up.
The only benefit to that was when it broke, part of my orbital bone turned vertical, and it pinched a part of my brain and cause paralysis the right side of my face. So I didn't feel a damn thing. But
I was going to say, where the fuck is the benefit in that?
Oh, my God.
So, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Vicodin 2, no, the sequel.
So I was prescribed that, and on top of my addiction, just being given that, and in where I was living at that point in my town, like, there was CVS everywhere, so I could just walk in at any point and just kind of get them and do whatever. So I was taking these things like Flintstone vitamins, and it just got worse. And then the more I got into wrestling, everybody knows how corrupt wrestling can be at some point. And being surrounded by guys who live for pills or going to the bar after a show, and like, I was very young, hanging around with older guys, and nobody really knew how young I was, so I was getting served at 18, 19 years old, and I'm drinking and mixing it with pills, and just like, it was pretty much just ruining my entire life. And this continued until 2012, and I kind of just lived life in a blur. And then I went to a show where my pay was cut short. I wasn't given what we had agreed upon, and there happened to be a bar at the venue. So a bunch of friends and I, we went to the bar and opened up a tab under the promoter's name, and we just drank until we all blacked out. And at this time, I was living in Boston, Massachusetts, and the show was in Rhode Island. And I ended up home the next morning. And I woke up and I hurt. Everything just hurt. I was sick. It took me like 7 hours to finally get out of bed. I just laid in bed and watched River Monsters all day on Netflix. It was the only thing that I could possibly hit the PlayStation controller and the X button to get it to play, and it just landed on River Monsters. So when I finally got up, I realized that this was it, man. Like, I didn't want to live life like this anymore. I didn't want to travel the roads for pills. Like, I didn't want to do that. That wasn't the influence or the dream that I wanted to fulfill. So that was literally the day. It was May 19th, 2012. And I flushed all my pills. I flushed all my drugs. I started pouring out all my alcohol. And I haven't looked back since.
That's an amazing story. Amazing. You know, a lot of people, you know, reach much lower than that, and some of them don't make it before they have that realization. But, you know, if blacking out and not being able to get out of bed for 7 hours is your bottom, that's not a pretty bad bottom to have in the grand scheme of things. And it's, you know, nice to hear that you reached that point, you know, where your wake up call was, you know, that you could actually just make that decision to get rid of everything. So kudos to you, man. I
appreciate it.
Got some experience. You know, we know quite a few people that have, that struggle with addiction, and, you know, every day is a struggle. But, you know, you sound like you got your head on straight. You sound like everything's moving in the right direction. So props to you on that.
Thank you very much.
Now, you're still a relatively young guy, right?
I'm 23 years old.
Well, that's relatively young.
I'll be 24 next month.
Oh, happy birthday. You're not a Christmas baby, are you?
What's that?
You're not a Christmas baby, are you? Like, you get screwed on presents?
I'm early in the month, December 5th, 20 days prior.
Perfect. And now we got an echo.
He could be a Hanukkah baby. You're making assumptions about the man's religion.
Listen, with a name like Dunn, I would assume that's, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know. A name like Warrior or Hogan or Page, yeah, those all sound. You fucking retard!
Oh my god!
I'm guessing you've never really listened to the show, huh?
I actually earlier I listened to the episode with Ken Shamrock.
Nice.
Did you listen to
that was pretty cool, man. Ken Shamrock's the shit.
Yeah,
badass motherfucker right there.
It was exciting for us.
What?
No, there's a problem with the audio, so I got my
that
headphones like half
exciting.
On.
That was exciting. I had fun.
A good time was had by all.
So, outside of being involved in Beyond Wrestling, you also had an opportunity to participate in Shikara's Young Lions Cup. How did that come about for yourself?
And is Shikara closing all the work?
One of the things that I always wanted to do in wrestling was be in the Young Lions Cup. Shikara was one of the first independent things that I came across when I got in. I didn't know what independent wrestling was until I started training, and I showed up at a VFW hall, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, where's Vince? I had no clue what I had gotten myself into. So I wanted to be in the Young Lions Cup because I felt like at the time, that was a tournament that really made people. It really showed that the people inside the tournament deserved the spot. And last year I was able to get into that. And like the match that I had with Vinny Marsilia, Aaron Epic, and ACH still gets praised to this day as one of the better matches that happened in the Young Lions Cup tournament. And I lost to ACH, so I really can't complain, even though I would have liked to win the whole thing. I did knock out Mr. Touchdown last week, who won it, so he could suck my dick.
Is that a safety?
I think that's an extra point.
But it was great to get into that. I had been in Shikara one time before that. They came to New England and did this thing called the New England Summit, and we had a 10-person tag match. And I was noticed as the breakout in that match. So they kept tabs on me going forward, and I had gone down to train at the Shikara Wrestle Factory numerous times. And they saw the improvement and decided it was a good opportunity, especially holding the Young Lions Cup, my part of it, in Massachusetts. And at that time, I lived in Boston, and it was about 5 minutes from my house. And we went in and just packed the place up, and we went out there and tried to steal the show. But it felt great to be a part of that. And I worked hard to get it. I don't want anything ever to be handed to me. I turned down numerous things just because going forward, I felt like I wasn't ready for them. And luckily they came back and I had the opportunity again. But I never just want to be handed anything. I want to prove to myself and to everybody else that I deserve every opportunity.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's the audio. For some reason, our connection gets an echo sometimes. So in between trying to listen to you and listen to ourselves, it's like a second delay. So don't mind us if we sound stupider than usual.
That's all right.
Now, you recently added CZW to your list of companies where you're permanently involved in. How did that come about? And how do you feel about coming down to Jersey all so often?
It was kind of the same thing. Beyond Wrestling has a working relationship with Combat Zone. So when we were going down filming the Beyond Wrestling studio tapings at the new CZW Dojo and the one prior to that that was located near the ECW Arena, I was able to just wrestle in front of the Combat Zone officials and DJ Hyde and everything. And they were able to see me on a monthly basis. And I expressed the fact that I wanted to be in Combat Zone. I felt like I could do well there and I could entertain Combat Zone fans, even though they're vicious as fuck. And I kind of kept just getting pushed off. And I had a lot of people that went to bat for me inside Combat Zone, friends or just guys who had seen my work and really wanted to get me in there. Like David Starr, Shane Strickland, Latin Dragon, Matt Tremont, guys like that. But just every day we're telling everybody, like, you got to bring him in. And then I finally got the call, and they were like, oh, we're going to have you come in, and we're going to fight David Starr. And we opened up a show, and we went in there and just, like, tore it up. We were very well recepted by the CZW crowd, which never happens for two guys who are debuting there. And at the end, we got a please come back chant, and we came back.
Was it a concern for you to go into CZW knowing that they had a reputation as like a deathmatch company with blood and gore, knowing that you're not really, I mean, I don't know, but I feel like you don't really participate in that type of style. Was that a concern of yours going in there? Like you would have to, you know, blade and bleed and kind of just put yourself out there just for the approval of the animals?
I wouldn't say it was really a concern match-wise going in if I was going to have to do deathmatch wrestling or anything like that, because I'm not a deathmatch wrestler. I've done very limited things that involve weapons and stuff. Like I've done a cage match and numerous ladder matches, but that's the extent of my hardcore wrestling. I was more concerned with the fans. They're ruthless, and if they're not enjoying what they're seeing, they're going to let you know, and I'm more concerned with them wanting blood than other wrestlers. So that was kind of nerve-wracking going in. Like, what if they don't know who I am? What if they don't know who I am afterwards and they just don't give a shit and, like, they're the reason why I can't come back? Because I can go in there and do all my stuff perfectly and put on a great performance, but if the fans don't enjoy it, then you're not a draw. You're not worth shit. And luckily, they took a liking to Star and I, so much so that we are now a tag team. And going to Cage of Death on December 14th, we're challenging for the CZW World Tag Team titles, something that I never thought was going to happen, and now it's happening.
Can you wrestle without being hardcore there, or is that like a demand of the fans?
I'm not even going to lie, I didn't know, like, shit about CZW for a long time. All I knew was what people said, like, they did hardcore wrestling, deathmatch wrestling. So that kind of put an X in my mind of places I wanted to go. And then I was exposed to like the best tournament or just pure wrestling, and the fans appreciated it. And then I was able to see some shows where I got to see like their juniors division and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like, well, I didn't know this stuff was here. Like, they have their deathmatch wrestling, but they also have like pure wrestling. And they have some of the best wrestlers like going right now here. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I got to get in here. Like, I got to do whatever it takes. So it took me like 7-8 months to just being down there every month, training and whatever to finally get a shot. I feel like the fans now are more receptive to wrestling. Like they don't need to have a deathmatch wrestling every match. Like they enjoy it and they're gonna love it. But at the same time, I think they also appreciate the hard work that goes in just having a pure wrestling match, and they like to be entertained and to see some cool stuff.
And I think over the years that they have gotten away from that that extreme kind of feel. I know since DJ Hyde's been in charge, you've seen guys like Drew Gulak, you know, come up, guys that are more about traditional wrestling, but they still use the hardcore aspect. But I know with him, it was a blow off to a big feud he was having with Danny Havoc, where they finally got to that point. You know, it started out as, you know, wrestling, and, you know, Drew only wanted to wrestle, but then it reached that point where they finally needed to go hardcore to settle their feud. And I think, you know, it makes more sense that way, instead of everything just being, you know, cage of death match, or, you know, fluorescent light bulb matches, things like that. And I felt the same way you did, you know, hearing about Combat Zone Wrestling, where all you saw was like blood and gore and just hardcore stuff, and, you know, guys getting pretty much maimed, you know, on every show. So it's nice to see that they're taking that direction, where guys like yourself, guys who are into more traditional wrestling with a little bit of high flying, you know, have another avenue to ply your trade.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. There's guys there that are amazing at deathmatch wrestling, and it's an art form. It truly is, to be able to sustain such a beating and keep going. But that's why they have the Tremont, the Gacy, the Havocs, like they have all, and Masada, like they're there for their reason, because that's what they're good at. Like, I'm a professional wrestler. Like, I want to wrestle. I want to throw strikes. I want to fly around. Like, that's my cup of tea. So it's good to have that variety there now, and it's good to be a part of that family.
Now, you have a big event coming up this weekend, actually. Beyond Wrestling's throwing their second annual tournament for tomorrow, and you're actually one of the participants in the tournament. For those out there not familiar with it, what they did 2 years ago was Denver, Colorado got together a wonderful field, Drew Gulak, ACH, Aaron Epic, and they had a one-night tournament to declare who the best young wrestler was going to be. And Aaron Epic came out on top of that, defeating ACH in the end. This year, they've thrown a little twist in there where they've done an intergender tournament where all the first-round matches are a man against the female. And I know they just announced Green Ant's taking on a young lady whose name escapes my mind right now. Do you know who you're going to get in the first round?
Surprisingly, I thought by now I would have known, but I'm yet to find out. And that's no like work or anything. I legit don't know what's going on. I find out everything as soon as everybody else does on Facebook and Twitter or anything like that. I've been watching film on everybody just to kind of prepare, because like you said, like tournaments like this don't happen. And there's some of the best guys, the young talents, versus some of the best female wrestlers right now. And to have something like this where, like, preparing to wrestle a guy is one thing, but preparing to wrestle a female is a completely different aspect. Like I don't go in there with the approach that I'm wrestling a girl and then I have the upper hand because she's a woman and men are better than the women or anything like that. Like, they're there for a reason. They're a professional wrestler as well. They know the craft the same way that I know it. So if I make one mistake, I could fucking be eliminated. And I was actually really pissed that I wasn't in the first one, the first tournament for tomorrow. I was very, very mad that I wasn't put in that. But at the same time, I don't think I was ready. I think Denver saw that and knew that it wasn't my time. So being able to be placed into this one, I feel prepared. There's a lot more talent in this one from all different aspects and from all over the world. So I'm very, very excited to see what happens, and I really hope that I get some good matches and I can beat them all and end up there and at Fett in Providence on Sunday, and who knows, win the whole damn thing. I'd be fucking happy with that.
Now, do you have somebody that you're hoping you will encounter during this tournament, somebody who you feel would really give you a great test?
Veda Scott.
Veda Scott? Let's see here. I think from a female aspect, I think Christina Von Eri would be fun to get in the ring with, because I know that I've seen her wrestle plenty of guys, and she just brings it. And I want something like that. Or if Lexus was able to defeat Anthony Stone, I would like to do that. Or it's really hard to pick, like a Kimberly or a Candice LeRae. Like I would love the opportunity to work with them. And then on the guy side, I would love to have a rematch with David Starr and knock him out and give him a nice receipt for fucking my face up at CCW. They just added Greenant and John Silver. So it's just like all these opportunities are right there. And I'm pretty sure, with the exception of Star and Stone, I've never wrestled anybody else in this tournament. So there's a lot of first times for me, and it's going to be a lot of work just to get to Sunday, because I'm there Friday and Saturday for our secret studio tapings that are, for the first time ever, are available to the public. You just got to email Beyond Wrestling. But Sunday at FET, we always fill it up. We bring a packed house there at FET, and just fans are hungry. They want to be entertained. They want to see professional wrestling. And this year, this show they're promoting it as like 1.5 shows. It's going to be set up as one of the longer shows that Beyond has put on. But that's also because our main event is a 60-minute Ironman match with Biff Busick and Eddie Edwards. And those guys are going to beat the shit out of each other. And I'm glad to see that Michael Elgin is brought back, because him and I had a really good match at Point of No Return. And it was like very beneficial for Beyond to have him there and to have him come back. I think that only helps. And having him there, fans are going to want to see him, but at the same time, they're going to be able to see all the other people on the show, maybe be opened up to new talent they weren't familiar with.
I'm glad you brought that match up, because I want to know, you wrestled that match with a dislocated ankle, right?
Yeah, I dislocated my ankle about 7 minutes into it.
How long was the match?
I fucked it up, and the match was about 25 minutes.
Holy shit. Did everyone in the audience know you dislocated your ankle?
It was very hard. Like, I've been hurt in matches before, like dislocated shoulders, broken fingers, and stuff like that. I'm just coming off of two concussions, so it's like people have seen me get hurt. And it was very, very hard to hide the fact that I hurt my ankle, mainly for the fact that I couldn't walk at first. And I was going for a move that I've hit a million times and I've won matches with, which is a bottom rope X Factor that Denver, Colorado has dubbed the Suck It Bomb. And I slipped on the bottom rope and came straight down on my right ankle, and it just ripped right out of the socket. And then for a couple of minutes, Elgin just beat the shit out of me. And I was trying to like regain myself. And then I finally did, and I was able to sit in the middle of the ring and just take both my arms and snap my ankle back into place. It wasn't in the right place, because I had to have it fixed afterwards, but it was in place enough where I was able to get up and walk around and put up a good fight.
How is insane.
How do you put it, like, but not in the right place? Like, that's just so odd.
Well, I didn't know it was possible to only dislocate, because I only dislocated, like, if you look at your ankle, you have the two sockets, your left and your right. I only dislocated the right side of it. So I was putting an extreme amount of pressure on the left side, which was causing it to almost fracture. And when I popped it back in, it wasn't fully in the socket. Like, if you ever dislocated your shoulder, you can still get your arm to work when you pop it back in, but it might not be fully in, or you might have popped it in over a nerve. And that's what I did on my ankle. So while I'm able to walk and get up and execute all these moves that I was doing, I was actually doing more damage to my leg every step that I took. And I didn't like pussy out or not do my best. Like, I came up the top with double stomps. I hit reverse Hurricane Rana. I was super kicking Elgin in the face, like everything that I could do to win. But throughout the whole time, I was just wearing myself out. And then finally came to the point where my body just couldn't take it anymore. And he hit me with this combination of like six moves. It was like elbow to the back of the head, elbow to the face, spinning back fist, buckle bomb, and then spiral bomb. And I was done. Like, 25 minutes in on a dislocated ankle, I had just done everything I could. I could barely walk. And he called me at the right time and just rocked me.
They give you a Vicodin 2 for that?
No. A lot of people offered some things, but I avoided. I avoid everything, not even Advil, Tylenol.
I was going to say, you didn't even take an aspirin for that?
I didn't take anything, man.
Fuck!
Yeah,
I know. Like,
in the past 2 weekends, I've dealt with concussions. I got one for New England Frontier Wrestling, Mr. Touchdown, and then I wrestled again about four matches later in the main event and passed out in the ring. And then this weekend, I wrestled for the RWA, the Renegade Wrestling Alliance, and I took a pile driver on a ladder because it was a ladder match, and I got caught on a pile driver, and it knocked me out again. So I've kind of been dealing with that heading into this weekend, so it's kind of crazy.
You ever think about taking a weekend off?
It's funny you say that. I have, not this weekend, but the following weekend, I actually have it off. And I think it was about 3 weekends ago. I had that was my first full weekend off in over a year and a half. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was so lost. Like, I was just like, oh, it's Friday night. I'm at home. What the fuck is going on? And the same thing Saturday and then Sunday. I'm like, I'm not coming home from anywhere. What am I doing? Like, what did I do wrong? I'm a workhorse. I love to wrestle. I love to entertain. I always want to make sure that if there is a show and fans are paying to see professional wrestling, I want to be a part of it and make sure that they get their money's worth. And this weekend, I'm going to do my best to deliver on all three shows, and hopefully I'm on all three shows, and make sure these guys have something to talk about.
And then next weekend, get some poon.
fuck it.
When you see him getting fat, you know he's getting laid.
Yeah, when I'm not traveling, somebody's telling me to stay home.
Now, after your match with Elden, he got in the ring. He got on the microphone. He gave you props. Kevin Steen mentioned you on a YouTube clip that he put up. And Shelly Martinez recently, she mentioned you on her podcast. To get that respect from your peers, is that just as, if not more important than the fans?
I don't think there's anything that like, there's no ranking system for that type of thing. But I can, like, wholeheartedly, when Elgin got in the ring and was talking after our match and put over Beyond Wrestling and then said some nice things about me, I almost cried. Because I was in a lot of pain. I could barely stand up. But two, to have that recognition from somebody who's on the top of his game and didn't even know who the hell I was. Like, he could have easily came in, had the match, just went home and didn't have to repeat my name ever again. But for him to say something like that, like, it was fantastic. And then with Shelly, that was just mind blowing because she's world famous, and to been able to have her share the ring with myself and Eddie Edwards, who from a guy from New England, Eddie Edwards is the man. He's the guy who broke out from here. He's the guy everybody wants to follow out and kind of do what he did. And she was there for that first ever meeting, and like just to have her there and to share that moment and to make that connection with her to the point where she would, talk about me the next week on her own podcast. It just felt self-gratifying. Like I felt good. It was one of the moments where it's just like, okay, like I'm doing something right if other people are able to see it. It's almost as valuable as after having a match with Elgin, Edwards, Gargano, and stuff, for them to get up and just share the center of the ring with me and shake my hand and kind of just that's right there for me where it's like, okay, man, like I'm doing something right. Like I'm in here, I'm going toe-to-toe with the best. Win, lose, or draw. Like I'm turning heads and I'm having fun while I do it, and everybody's entertained. I love professional wrestling for what it is. It's a sport. It's supposed to be competitive. We're supposed to push each other to the limit, and I feel like I do that with every single person I've shared the ring with, and I've just been blessed that they're the top talents in the world.
Yeah, it's really shown through recently in the last 6 months or so, and I personally expect big things to come from you. I hate to toot our own horn, but we've kind of had our finger on the pulse of the world of professional wrestling in terms of our guests. We had, you know, a young Adam Cole and a young Michael Elgin as guests. And,
Elgin.
Sorry.
I know you've been good for so many weeks. You even said Elgin a few times already tonight.
But, I mean, we seem to be ahead of the curve and just kind of get these guys before they hit it big, and I feel like you're in the same boat. I feel like there's a lot of big things to come from you. I'm very surprised you haven't been out to California yet and done PWG, because I feel like your style fits right into what they
That's like my next dream. Like that's my next goal. It's pro wrestling guerrilla. That's Disneyland of wrestling, man. You go there and you just bring your best shit. It's like if you don't show up to wrestle, like you don't belong there. And I've watched some friends go there and guys that I've worked with go there and just tear it up. I feel like if I just got one opportunity to go there and share the ring with anybody, because they're all great, that's why they're there, I think I would really be able to turn head. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing right now and wrestling at the best of my ability. And hopefully one day, really soon, they'll give me a call and I can go out there and compete, because that's the kind of exposure and the kind of environment you want. The fans there, they appreciate wrestling. Like, they want the best wrestling that's out there, and PWG brings it to them every single show.
Yeah, I can honestly say I hope to see you out there in the new future. The near future, Jesus Christmas.
Wow.
I'm bad. I can't talk.
Matt's tired.
As we start to wind this down, we put something out on our Facebook to have fans ask us questions. And
for you, not just us.
Because we have dickhead fans, here are some of the questions. Justin Anderson wants to know, what is the best Troy McClure educational film?
The best what?
Exactly.
Do you watch The Simpsons?
Oh, man, I did religiously, and I've actually slowed down. I really don't watch much TV.
Troy McClure died like 20 years ago, didn't he?
I don't know. This is just a fucking Facebook question, fucking dummy Justin. All right, we'll move on. What's your favorite Muppet? The Apex Radio Show wants to know.
Stickman.
My favorite Muppet?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Muppet?
Fozzie Bear, brother.
Nice.
Waka Waka.
He's the best. He's entertaining as fuck. He's over with me.
That's all that matters, right? As long as he's over with you.
I love the Muppets. How'd they know that?
I don't know. We got weird fans, dude.
Yeah, they're pretty fucked up.
Hey, nothing wrong with the Muppet question. I'll take that all day. All
right, well, those were the only two worthy questions.
Yeah.
The other ones were just dickhead ones.
Yeah, the other ones were like, hey, we want a real answer on the Muppet question.
Well, how would I give them a fake answer?
Apparently, Michael Cole was not an acceptable answer. That was a stipulation.
All right. I didn't know he was an option. I would have picked him just to piss that guy off.
You could still change your mind.
Now he knows. Now I've been exposed now. I can't ruin it.
We can edit. That's why we don't do this live.
The pleasure of editing, then, huh?
I guess so. Tony's got to do it. I don't, so I don't care.
Yeah, well, these guys are driving drunk home.
In my kids' buzzed. We're driving buzzed. There's a difference.
Oh, my God.
Surprise, I'm sleeping in your couch.
Surprise, surprise.
Not on your couch. Not next to your couch. In your couch.
Is that a new pay-per-view?
Well, JT, it's been a pleasure. Before we get out of here, we just want to thank you. Definitely get out to Providence, Rhode Island, the Massachusetts area this week, this year.
Jeez.
Maybe this year. It's winter. Maybe. I don't want to go up there in the winter.
Oh, sucks up here in the winter.
Jersey's bad enough in the winter. But get out there. LookMonoFans.com. Follow JT Dunn on Twitter, @TheJuice. That's J-U-I-C-E. And then... three E's, not one, not two.
J-U-C-I-E-E-E.
Three E's.
Some motherfucker stole my shit.
That's unfortunate.
He's got a YouTube page as well. It's The Juice X8, The Juice times
all
8.
All kinds of good stuff on there.
I guess if you're really thirsty, you want 8 juices?
Yeah, want 8 of them.
You could have just
there's
told him.
There's only one of me, but there's some imitators out there.
You should have just told him to shut up. That was a terrible joke. A boo.
Yeah,
a boo.
Roll with the punches.
JT, it's been a pleasure. Get out there, support JT Dunn, Beyond Wrestling, CZW Wrestling, Chikara, if it ever comes back. You think Chikara's coming back?
Yeah, I hope so, because I want to maybe get in the Lions Cup tournament again and win it.
No, but come
so
on.
Hopefully.
You know, right?
I think Chikara is good for business, so hopefully they can turn things around.
But you know,
and,
right?
Come back.
They're coming back.
I know what.
They're coming back, right?
I hope so. No, I know as much as everybody else does.
He's waiting for Denver to put it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. There is one thing that people have been bringing up to me a lot, especially the past week, is the return of Chris Hero. He's back on the Independence. So
Chris Hero.
If he's going to listen to this, or if anybody happens to come across Chris Hero, tell him I said hi.
I will actually. He will be in Jersey Saturday night at the Pro Wrestling Syndicate show that we are involved
in. Oh,
really? So I will.
And he's also.
What's going to take for Chris Hero versus JT Dunn to happen? Because I'd like to knock Chris Hero out.
Chris Hero.
Cassius Ohno. He's actually working Dragon Gate Sunday, isn't he?
Yeah, I've seen his stuff just go crazy. He's wrestling like the Hurricane, and then. I think today they announced him versus Gargano at Dragon Gate.
Yeah, and he's going to be him and Gulak at Cage of Death.
Yeah, that's going to be insane. So if nobody gets to him before the cage of death, I'll accept the related message myself.
Well, there you have it here. Shining Wizards podcast, JT Dunn throwing down the challenge.
Them was fighting words!
Those are fighting words. Those are rolling elbow words, brother.
JT, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you in the future and hopefully having you back on this disaster of a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you, guys. Was,
anything else you
want to...
Ooh, I'm sorry. Anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
You guys covered it. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I'm always on social media. I love to talk to my fans and everything like that. You got that Powell O'Reilly next, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So for those listening to me, like, make sure you stick around and listen to Kyle O'Reilly. Hopefully, I've never worked with Kyle, so maybe one day we can get something going in the ring. But mainly, just keep supporting independent wrestling. We do this a lot for ourselves, but it's for the fans. And the more that you support, the more we're out there doing it. And just put a stop to shitty independent wrestling and the guys who are tarnishing the business. That's one thing that I'm here to say, pro wrestling. That's not a moniker, it's not a joke, it's not something that just sounds cool. I'm really busting my ass to get rid of that negative reputation as much as I possibly can. And the more people that join aboard, the easier this is going
to
be.
You got to admit, you follow Trashbag Wrestlers on Facebook?
Of course.
That's the best fucking site ever.
A lot of those guys, man, that's what's wrong with wrestling. They can call themselves a professional wrestler, but they don't have training, they don't have gear, they don't have the look. It sucks for guys like me who are out there busting our ass, and all the young guys and the veterans that are still around, and we're busting our ass, and guys like this are taking spots because they're working for free or something like that. And it's just very bad for business. And I don't want to see professional wrestling be tarnished anymore or one day eventually just die. The more we get rid of those guys, the longer we can continue this journey.
I think my favorite part of the site, though, is, you know, they typically trash all the guys and make fun of the lack of gear and whatnot, but every time there's a woman on, no matter what she looks like, no matter how she's dressed, it's always like, would you? It just completely degenerates into, yeah, I think I would.
Yeah, every single one, no matter what.
That's awesome.
<There's> somebody.
I could spend hours just checking that site out. It fucking cracks me up every time.
Maybe we'll get some good ones that pop up. So next time I'm on here, we can talk about that too.
You know what you should do? You should wrestle in like just Under Armour, and then I'll put your picture up, and we'll get a good laugh.
Ah, there we go.
JT, man, it's been fun having you on, man. Enjoy yourself this
weekend,
and try not to get concussed, huh?
No more concussions. Not for me, for other people, though.
Yes, definitely. Dole them out. Don't take them.
Definitely.
Awesome. JT, thanks again.
Thank you. Take care, you guys.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards. Get off that $12 whore you just tore apart and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on neckbreaker.net or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, Podcasts.com, and of course, at swn.shiningwizards.com.
That was JT Dunn. He was pretty awesome, right?
We had fun with JT Dunn.
And we're not done yet, because coming up next, we are speaking to Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, are we?
Yes, we are.
He's one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Can we
wait,
sound a little more excited?
What a fucking retard.
He is one half.
Keep it up, my nigga.
We'll be back with Kyle O'Reilly.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
From the current to the way back, tune into Turnbuckle Throwbacks every week, exclusively on RadioInfluence.com, Buzzsprout.com, and on Stitcher.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is the one half of the current Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions with Bobby Fish, and he is the winner of the 2013 Battle of Los Angeles. He's the one and only Kyle O'Reilly. A smattering of applause for you, sir.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. How are things on your end?
Sure. Things are going well, man. Yeah, keeping busy and training hard, so yeah, doing good.
Now, are you training? I know you are a man of many trades. Are you training for wrestling, rugby, hockey? What are you doing out right now?
Talking to us.
Tonight I just finished like a little bit of weightlifting, just like some circuit training and stuff. So now I'm heading out to go train some dude, just like a personal training kind of thing. And then I'll call it a night after that. Actually, I got to run to the airport and pick up my buddy Darren Dean, who gets in at 10:30. So my night is just kind of beginning.
Oh, wow. Sounds like you're a very busy man. Darren Dean is one of the guys from California that is living in the, is it the Richards household? What are you guys calling it down there? You have a nickname
Correct.
For it?
You know, the whole housing situation has kind of flip-flopped lately. So I think he's living now with Davey Vega, another indie guy who's living in St. Louis. But he's born and raised here. But, yeah, I think he's crashing with him. And, yeah, still just trying to make a name for himself and get noticed. And he's an exceptional talent, and I think he'll be on everyone's radar pretty soon. So keep an eye out for Darren Dean.
Very good. Now, You're from the Pacific Northwest, Canada.
Correct.
How did you end up in St. Louis, involved with Davey Richards, Tony Kazina? How did that all come about for you?
Well, Davey and Tony were living in Washington State at the time, like just outside Seattle, and they would come up to wrestle in D.C. pretty often, and I would go down and wrestle for their promotion in Washington quite a bit, so we worked together a few times and became buddies. And when they moved out to St. Louis, there was the open invite to, come on out and try and get my foot in the door with some other promotions and try and get noticed, because I'd kind of done everything I could really do up in D.C., and there's really no way to kind of break out up there and really get noticed. So I just had to pack up my car and move down to somewhere where there was more opportunity. So that's how that all came about.
Now, being up there in the Pacific Northwest, I don't think a lot of people are very familiar with the wrestling situation up there. There's not a lot really going on. There's a handful of guys that came out of there. Did you face a lot of struggles early on in your career in terms of getting your name out there?
Yeah, definitely. There isn't a ton of wrestling up there. Like, there's about, two promotions in D.C. and then, like, maybe one or two in Oregon and Washington that are really notable, but there's a ton of talented dudes up there, and it's really a shame that there's not more guys from up there on people's radars, because there's a lot of good talent, and it's just there's not really the platform to really get noticed up there. It's just they're kind of off in their own little world, but there's a lot of good wrestling, man. Like, I really urge anyone listening to go check out an ECCW DVD or show, and they're the local promotion up in Vancouver, and there's so many good guys up there, and so many hardworking people. So there's definitely some good wrestling. But yeah, you're right in the sense that in order to really break out, I kind of had to come to the States and in the Midwest and the East Coast. And that's when I really started getting noticed, because I've been wrestling about 4.5, going on 5 years before I finally came out here. And when I came out here, people thought, I had just started wrestling, because no one had ever heard of me or knew me or anything. But, it just goes to show that you're kind of in the black hole up in the Pacific Northwest.
So you break out of the said black hole, and you end up in Ring of Honor, I'm assuming under the tutelage of Davey Richards. What was that whole experience like for you to go from wrestling up there in Canada back down into the Ring of Honor market, where you're on TV and you have to learn to wrestle a different style because there's cameras shooting television shows and all that rigmarole?
Yeah, it was definitely a big adjustment, you know. Like you said, I got to worry about more time cues, being on time with television and like hard cam and stuff like that. You kind of got to pay attention to that more. But it's a lot of that, you know, living and learning on the fly and just paying a lot of attention and, you know, always constantly improving and wrestling guys that are better than me just made me a better wrestler. Because I went from wrestling, you know, 2-3 times a month to 2-3 times a week. So you're going to get good really fast when you're wrestling that amount and the caliber of talent that is out here. So it just helps you improve so much quicker. So I just tried to learn and trying to keep my mouth shut, my ears open, and just paid a lot of attention.
No, it seemed to work out very well with you. You arrive in Ring of Honor. You actually do a little stint there, and then you take a little time off, and you come back, and they pair you with Adam Cole. What were your feelings on being put into a tag team situation opposed to being spotlighted as a singles wrestler?
At first, we were both, Adam and I, were both a little indifferent about it, but we understood it was definitely for the best. Like, we're two new guys, you know, put us as a tag team and help us get over gradually as a young upstart babyface tag team rather than shove us down people's throats as two new singles guys, you know. So I definitely think that was the best option, and I'm so thankful that we grew so much as a team and a unit and gained so much confidence in our work and gained confidence in the office and gained confidence from the fans. So it was so beneficial for that. Like, I'm so thankful that's the route that we both initially took coming into the company.
And you had the opportunity to work with such an array of tag teams, the All Night Express, the Briscoes. You guys have this wonderful run, not so much as a winning tag team per se, but you guys, you showcase your talent, you won over all the Ring of Honor fans, and then they bring you to the 10th anniversary show, and you guys are in the main event with Davey and Eddie, probably two guys that definitely built and formed Ring of Honor to what it is today. How much did that mean to you to have the company put so much faith in you?
Oh, it was a huge deal, man. It was really special night. Like, I got to the main event, the Hammerstein Ballroom. It was like something I dreamed about and a huge goal of mine, you know, since I started to pursue wrestling. It was an absolute milestone. It was great, especially against two guys like Davey and Eddie. You know, like, the match is going to be good no matter what. So the one thing, if I could change one thing about the match, I would have had it be me and Adam versus the Wolves as opposed to Eddie and Adam versus me and Davey. I think that could have maybe been a better match, but I was still super happy with it, and it was a really special moment for everyone involved, I think.
And it was an unbelievable match. I happened to be there live. It was my first Ring of Honor show, which is kind of embarrassing to say. Considering what an amazing product it is, I should have been going for years. That style where they go for so long, I mean, that main event must have been 45 minutes. Was that something you were used to, or did you have to adjust to the way Ring of Honor ran their matches?
No, that was something that I kind of gotten used to over time. You know, through wrestling, like, you do so many of those, like, long, grueling matches on the independents, and no one really ends up seeing that. Kind of prepares you for when the cameras are actually watching and it's on, you know, an iPay-per-view and in front of a Hammerstein Ballroom crowd, you know?
Definitely. You mentioned the iPay-per-view. Is it frustrating for you to be involved with Ring of Honor and for them to experience so many difficulties with their iPay-per-view feed?
No, I'm not really bothered by it. You know, it's a work in progress. It's still a technology that's still catching up to itself. And, you know, in Ring of Honor's case, they get so many people wanting to see the product, but I guess that's kind of what makes it not work as well, as far as I understand. So I guess in a way they're doing something right if that many people want to watch it. And I'm sure once, you know, technology catches up and they do it again, it'll be done a lot better and it'll work out for the best. And, yeah, I'm hoping it'll get back up to the being live and everything. But for now, it's still good, and we got video on demand and everything. So we're still producing a great product, and hopefully people are still wanting to watch it.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's my biggest gripe is I can't watch them live right now. I mean, I love the Ring of Honor product and what they put out, and they're only in, you know, the New York, New Jersey area every so often. So, being a wrestling nerd, I have to get as much as I can get now. Moving forward, during this time where you're being spotlighted in Ring of Honor, in the main event, and you're feuding with Adam Cole, you make the shift and you go over to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Just being over there with that amount of talent, did that cause you to step up your game?
Yeah, I think being over there, everyone, you know, pushes each other to deliver the best product and best matches they can have. You know, everyone's wanting to steal the show, but it's such a good competitive environment in that sense that everyone wants to go all out, and it's such a fun atmosphere, and it's, you know, the best independent talent in the world come to those shows. So it's awesome, man. I love going out there, and it's impossible to have a bad match because the crowd is just so hyped and so pumped, and all the wrestlers are so good. So, you know, no matter who you're in there with, you're going to have a fun time out there.
Yeah, I have yet to get out there to catch a PWG show, but I can relate it to the ECW crowds being over here on the East Coast and getting to go to many ECW shows. So you're showcased at PWG, and you end up just recently winning the Battle of Los Angeles. Did you know, you know, going into that they were going to give you that honor? I mean, if you look at the list of winners, I mean, Adam Cole, Joey Ryan, it really is just an amazing list of company that you.
Yeah, it's a who's who of you know, top talent who have all gone on to do great things and are continuing to do great things. So, yeah, it was extremely special, man. It was a huge moment for me, and it was definitely a grueling weekend. I was pretty banged up, but it was awesome, man. It was really a cool moment.
And now you find yourself splitting time between Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Ring of Honor, pretty much anything in between. I've read recently, you know, in past interviews that you've done, one of your things you wanted to work on was your mic skills and your promos. Is that something that you feel has improved in the last couple of months?
Yeah, I feel since this whole Red Dragon thing has started with me and Bobby Fish, I've really started to sort of come into my own as far as the character aspect goes. You know, we've sort of found a bit of a niche with these characters that we're experimenting with and rolling with, and so we're having a lot of fun with it. I feel I'm getting more confident, and I'm starting not to dread promo day as much as I once did, and so I still think I have a long way to go, and I'm still working on it, but, you know, that's in every aspect of wrestling. You're always improving. You're always trying to get better in all avenues, so, you know, it's still, I'm trying to get better in the ring, trying to come up with new ideas and new stuff, and I'm trying to see what other ways, you know, I can get this character over, and you know, other things to try and make it seem like I'm confident in you know, promos and vignettes and things of that nature.
Do you feel it's easier working with Bobby with two men working on promos together as opposed to just being an individual and doing it yourself?
Oh, totally. Yeah, we bounce off ideas, and a lot of the times we're just making each other laugh so much, and we just think, oh, that'd be so great for a promo here, and that'd be hilarious to say there. So we just kind of, a lot of it's just us trying to crack each other up, and it ends up just being the promos that we're delivering. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
Do you find?
Let me. I got an earth-shattering question I got to ask you here. who's got the better groupies, the Ring of Honor or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla?
The better groupies?
Yeah, like who's got the hotter
better
female?
Ring rats?
Well, I'm not necessarily rats. I didn't want to go there, but I'm sure, you know, I don't head out to California too often, so I don't know what the ladies are like out there. But I can tell you, there's some nice ones and some awful ones around here.
Yeah, it's slim pickings across the board, man. There's not the hugest female fan base in pro wrestling these days, unfortunately. You tell a girl you're a pro wrestler. Well, I'm married, so it's irrelevant. But you tell a girl you're a pro wrestler, and they're like, oh, UFC? Yeah, no, yeah, UFC, whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, you mentioned the UFC, and you dabble quite a bit in the mixed martial arts. How much does that apply to what you do in the ring? I mean, I know you mix it up, and I know Bobby Fish is actually a professional MMA fighter. He's got a win under his belt. Does that help you guys that you're both kind of into the mixed martial arts world and you get to mix it up into your wrestling styles?
Yeah, definitely. I think training in martial arts is a very beneficial thing, not just to transcend into pro wrestling, but just for a cardio aspect. It keeps you in shape. It keeps you more, like, you can't really recreate the cardio output that a pro wrestling match, the kind of toll it's going to take on your body. Like, the closest, you can't get that from bench pressing or running on a treadmill. You know what I mean? The closest thing that's going to kind of relate to that is grappling and jiu-jitsu or doing kickboxing training. So that's kind of the main aspect behind it, is just trying to stay in shape. But I love grappling. I love jiu-jitsu, and it's a lot of fun for me. And I try and translate a lot of my grappling game into my pro wrestling game as well, whether it be a triangle choke or arm bars and stuff like that. If they're legitimate holds that could actually put some away. So, you try and incorporate that into wrestling, and it's becoming like my main finishes and my main falsies and stuff like that as well now. So hopefully it's starting to get over if I keep up with it.
Now, let me ask you a question in terms of MMA. If you had grown up, I know you're a fairly young man, a little later, if you were born later on, do you think you would have taken an MMA road instead of wrestling? Because it seems like wrestling isn't, I'm in my 30s. A couple of these guys are about the same age. When we were growing up, it was all Hulk Hogan and all that jazz. Sure. And I feel like, I don't want to sound like a dick, but I don't think John Cena is cool. And I feel like MMA is kind of taking over the scene. Do you feel like, as someone who professionally wrestles as a living and as an MMA participant, do you feel like if you were born a little later, it would have been a different story for you?
It's hard to say. Pro wrestling's always been my love, and always what I've wanted to make a career out of. I've never really had that desire, as much of a desire for combat sports, but who knows? If you're a kid growing up in this day and age, maybe you would be more attracted to mixed martial arts, or I think it's hard to say for us as adults to what kids are attracted to about pro wrestling. Like, if I was a kid now, I probably would be a huge pro wrestling fan with guys like Brian and Punk and Cena and Sheamus. Like, those are the guys that you'd be pumped either way, whether if it's those guys or the Hogan and the Brutus the Barber Beefcakes. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a tough question, man. I really don't know which avenue I would have ended up taking, but I'd like to think I would have stuck with pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's funny. I got a 5-year-old, and I've been trying to introduce him to wrestling, in bits and pieces. We watch a little bit of Raw sometimes, and I picked up the WWE, the new video game, which is actually pretty good. And first thing my kid says, I want to be John Cena. So John's got to be doing something right, and
absolutely. I bet if I was a kid, I'd probably be a huge John Cena fan, man. Like, I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan back in the day. Like, my first image of pro wrestling, it's just, I can picture Hulk Hogan. So it probably, if I was that same age in this day and age, it'd probably be John Cena. It's just a different generation gap. It's hard for us to relate to, I guess.
Do you think it matters, though, that it's, Cena's kind of like shoved down our throat? Like, when Hogan was on Saturday Night's Main Event, that was an event. You like stayed up late, and it was like something big. And now you can see Cena on Monday night and Friday night and Wednesday night. Do you think that factors into that?
I don't know. Maybe it's more like, maybe it's look at it. The business is, well, I don't know. Is it bigger now than it ever was? Like, it's probably making more money now than it ever did.
Oh, definitely.
In the 80s.
Definitely money-wise, yeah.
All these extra shows and avenues, it just creates more opportunities. Oh, I got to tune in. I got to see what happens next time. It's SmackDown's on Friday. I got to watch this Friday. Like, rather than waiting a month between shows, I don't know. Maybe it just, it's hard to say, man. I really don't know. I'm not an expert on this.
I think it's the jorts. Or the khaki shorts that he wears now. I think it's the whole look.
Yeah, all right. We're all in the same boat on that one. Oh, Jesus Christ. You really just threw me all off, dude, with that. Oh, Kyle, right. I'm sorry. Moving forward with yourself, I mean, tag team champion, Ring of Honor, what does the future hold for you?
Wait. Do you get to carry the belt around? Like you said, you're going to pick your friend up. Are you going to go, like, have it on your shoulder when you go get him?
It's actually hanging from my rearview mirror right now. I don't even shoulder check. I just glaze into the shining gold of the belt. So.
That is fucking awesome.
You really think he's got the belt hanging from
the
rearview
mirror? No, but
that's
the greatest answer I've ever heard to that question.
So where Kyle O'Reilly, Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion.
I use it to actually scrape the ice off my car in the morning.
You don't use it to fend for your safety in St. Louis?
Nah.
St. Lunatics, kid!
Now, we went to St. Louis once for a Mets game, and it was the scariest. Just the experience itself.
Have you been to Camden?
No, not that, you dingle. Just being there in the stadium, you could point and pick out the Mets fans because everyone down there wears red.
Yeah, it's a rough city, man.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It's a nice area, too. I've grown to like it a lot. Like, I'm from a completely different world. And coming here at first, I was a little sketched out by it, but I've really come to love the city, and, you know, this is my home now. I met my wife here. I have a home here. So, you know, it's cool now. I don't mind it. I've hopped right on the bandwagon being a Cardinals fan, so it's all good.
That's easy to do. Let me tell you, Fred Bird's a dick. Okay? We went there for opening day. I had my Mets gear on. Fred Bird got all up in my grill. Isn't that funny?
Yes, it is. He should have.
He is a dick, dude. I was just trying to watch some baseball. He was all up in my face. Anyway, back to Kyle. So what does the future hold for you? As a Ring of Honor tag team champion, do you find yourself chasing Adam Cole for the Ring of Honor World Championship? Do you see yourself in WWE or TNA?
Honestly, I'm really enjoying the tag run that Bobby and I are on, having a ton of fun with it, so I'd like to keep on that ship for as long as we can. I'm really enjoying what we're doing and enjoying the matches we're having, and I'd like to stick with doing the tag thing for as long as we can.
Yeah, I think it really plays well. I think for you, being a heel, in my opinion, I love it. I think it just looks like you're having such a good time in the ring and just being a badass. It really makes watching you just a good time. You can kind of feel that you're enjoying yourself.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing the heel thing from a character aspect, and you can get away with getting a lot more out of doing a lot less, for sure. Personally, I think as a singles worker, I prefer my match. I think my matches are better as a babyface. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like I don't know. I feel like in Gorilla, my match, like, if I was a heel singles guy, I don't think I'd be as successful as I am as a face out there. But, definitely doing the tag thing in Ring of Honor. Like, being a heel is the best way to go, and I'm loving it and having so much fun. And I'm glad you guys are enjoying it too, man. I'm glad it's showing that I'm having a lot of fun in there. We definitely are.
Yeah, it looks like it. And for those of you guys out there that want to catch Kyle and Bobby Fish, Red Dragon, your Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, this weekend they're doing a double shot in Dearborn, Michigan, and Columbus, Ohio. Kyle and Bobby are both going to be involved all weekend. Saturday night. Wait, what's the 15th?
The 15th is
Friday. Sorry.
Friday, yes.
Friday night, there's going to be a triple threat match. Kyle against ACH and Caprice Coleman. Bobby Fish is going to be taking on Thomas and Cedric Alexander. And then Saturday night, they're featured in a tag title match against Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander. So definitely check out the Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. I'm sorry, Kyle.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's going to be a rad weekend, man. Looking forward to it. Two big shows. So definitely, if you're in the area, come check them out, and we'll put on an awesome show.
Now, did they tell you any news on what you guys are doing at Final Battle?
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure if it's been announced yet. I'm assuming it hasn't been announced yet if you guys don't know, so I better save that.
All right, no spoiler alert, but you guys are going to be involved. Good, man.
But you guys are involved on the show, though, of course.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there.
Awesome. Very good. Saturday, December 14th. Final Battle 2013, the Hammerstein Ballroom right here in Manhattan. You can bet I'll get myself out there to see that.
Hammerstein.
You can follow Kyle on Twitter at ROH O'Reilly. Kyle, before we let you go, is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, I think I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it. Hopefully I'll come back on sometime soon.
I hope so. It's been a pleasure. Be safe going to the airport. And we look forward to seeing you in the near future, kicking ass and taking names.
And don't stare too much at the belt. Don't be distracted while you're driving.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Kyle. Have a great night.
This is ACH, and you are tuned in to the Shining Wizard Podcast. Motivation.
And we're back. Matt's going to take a piss.
That was a great
After interview. That shit. He just vomited out of his mouth.
No, he did a great job. He just—it's been a long night, dude. It's like that's why we decided long ago that twofers were kind of like not like the everyday thing to do. I remember there was a shot for a while where he was like doing interviews on his own. I think there was one day where he did like four interviews, and we actually split it up into two shows. And I forget. I think it was.
He get the job?
I don't think he can do interviews correctly. Tell me about your past wrestling experiences.
God.
All right. So, we talked enough about Raw, I guess.
Are you making fun of me?
No, not at all, dude. No. It's fine.
Of course not.
We wouldn't say anything.
Back?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're back.
Pat and I are just having a little fun, waiting for you to take another piss.
Making retard voices.
Yes. Jesus. Oh, he's
going to just rip that mic right out of the fucking...
He's getting into relaxing mode.
Look, it's not easy to fucking interview these guys.
No, but I thought... Wasn't there a night where you interviewed four guys? If I remember right, Thomas Rodman was one.
Thomas Rodman, Matt Classic, Aaron Epic, and...
Was it? I want to say Adam Cole?
No, it wasn't Adam Cole.
It was an Epic Classic. It was Aaron Epic, Matt Classic.
Tony Z keeps saying interview with quotation marks, so I don't know if that means he
interviewed
them or
it was the something and the inchworm.
Blew all of them or...
It was the something and the inchworm.
Fuck.
I'm not giving away more shirts because it's always fucking Lopez and Hummer that are winning them.
Yeah. Let me think.
What does it matter?
That's just to know now.
Yeah.
Rodman, Matt Classic, Aaron Epic.
Yes.
No, but it's not easy to see. You know, people.
I understand.
Might go back and listen to this and fucking bash us for our interview skills. It's not easy, though.
That's why I was kind of concerned when you told me we had two guys booked for today. I was like, really? Like, I thought you were kind of over that.
No, I like the booking. It gets our name out there.
I understand, and I like talking to these guys, but bottom line is it's fucking exhausting.
Is this why Eddie isn't here?
No, Eddie's not here because he's doing videos for PWS.
Oh. Matt talked to Aaron Epic and Matt Classic, and the next episode was Thomas Rodman and Ach.
Oh, ACH. How did I forget ACH? Man. Bummer.
That's right, dude. We really have had a who's who of independent wrestling, and a lot of these guys have become, you know, pretty huge names at this point.
Yeah.
A lot of them are either at that next level or just about at that next level. So,
if you look at. Go ahead.
Do you guys want to do a quick, like, 5-minute round table?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do a round table. Oh, you know what? Do you want to plug first and then we'll do round tables? Or should we? I don't know. You had shit that you had to talk about?
No, we could do that at the end.
I really don't care about Raw. TNA is whatever.
Hold on. Before we jump into this roundtable, TNA did make some headline news. As the Xer guys were here last week, they plugged the House of Hardcore show.
Oh yes. Yes, this is a good topic.
The end of the show, it was Dreamer and Funk against Lance Storm and X-Pac. No, X-Pac and
I think it was Lance Storm.
No, because I think Lance Storm and Justin
Credible. Oh, it was D-Von.
There you go. It was D-Von and X-Pac.
Yes,
I think.
I thought it was D-Von and Lance Storm.
No, because Lance Storm and John, whatever.
D-Von was there.
End of the show. Dreamer and Funk are in the ring celebrating. Fucking Bubba Ray shows up.
Fucking Bubba Ray.
TNA contracted guy, former World Heavyweight Champion. He comes out, beats the shit out of Dreamer and Funk. Spike tries to make the save. He gets the shit beat out of him. D-Von comes out. They 3D Funk and Dreamer.
3D Funk.
And then it's revealed that the end of the year, TNA's one night only Hardcore Justice, whatever the fuck they're calling it, Dreamer versus Bubba Ray in a last man standing match or some hardcore thing.
It's cool. Like I think they do the reunion shows right, and I know a lot of people bitch and moan like, oh, here we go again with the ECW guys. But we've talked about it before, in small spurts. With the guys that can still go and they're not plastered on TV every week, I find that stuff entertaining still, you know?
I don't have a problem with those two wrestling. I have a problem with those. There's no heat there. They never feuded, really. I mean,
yeah, they did.
Singles?
No, but Tommy Dreamer was paired up with Raven at some point, and didn't they beat the Dudleys for the titles in the old ECW?
They did.
Yeah, but that's
and then
not,
Raven went to go walk his dog.
ECW, I don't think Tommy Dreamer, Bubba Ray. Not the main event to
yeah,
me.
But
if you're doing a reunion show, if you're doing a show now and you want to base it off new storylines, that's fine. It's something else completely. But I want to see Sabu, Shane Douglas. Or fucking, I want to see main event headliners from back in the day. I really don't care about Bubba Ray wasn't the main event star he was.
I think you make a point when it comes to undercard matches. Like, for instance, I really did not want to see Al Snow wrestle C.W. Anderson. Like, I really didn't. But having Bubba, who's actually an established name now, like as a single star, take on Tommy Dreamer, that I don't mind that so much.
Meh.
Maybe because Bubba feels slighted that, you know, like the House of Hardcore was built on my back and not yours. There you go, Insta-feud. I mean, Christ, if fucking Chris Jericho could spill a cup of coffee on Kane and they build a fucking story out of it, why not?
Well, I think it's for TNA, there's so many rumors going around that they're closing and they're trying to sell. It doesn't save the company, but it's not a huge game changer, but it garner some attention to TNA. You know, all those House of Hardcore guys that were there essentially are there because they're ECW fans. They want to see the Dreamer, the Funk, the Lance Storm, the Just Incredible.
It brings in people for that shot.
And if it's just for that one night where they go back to Poughkeepsie and it's TNA banner and it sells tickets, I mean, it's a smart move by TNA. Not saying it's going to save the company, but it'll sell them tickets.
Bubba Ray does not deserve to be in that match. Put someone else in it.
You know what?
I'm sorry. No.
Have you been following TNA?
No, but it's not about TNA.
Bubba Ray is...
That show is not about TNA. That's the point.
No.
I see why they do it. It makes sense why they do that, but it's not about TNA at that point.
Before
it's TNA
the Dudleys
versus ECW at this point. That's what they're making it out to be. This is that rival promotions bullshit that Vince fucked up. That they're actually seems like they're doing it right. Like Tommy Dreamer is like the
it's
head
revisionist
of the...
history. They never existed at the same time.
What do you mean?
TNA and ECW.
No, but Tommy Dreamer keeps the extreme feeling alive with his House
Tommy
of Hardcore.
Dreamer can,
and
Tommy
maybe
Dreamer
Bubba
can send me a fucking T-shirt in the mail. That's what Tommy Dreamer can do.
I thought that was Stevie that did that.
No,
it was Tommy
and Taz and
Taz
Bubba.
And
see, there's your history. They're pissed off because Bubba wasted too many stamps on fucking packages that he was sending out with T-shirts.
But I mean, I guess it makes sense. You know, they're not involved in the Extreme Rising, which I saw something online today that said they already canceled the fucking show in December. I don't know if it's true. But I mean, you got to remember, the Dudleys were fucking white hot when they were heels before they went to WWF
and ECW.
Oh, and
ECW? Sure they
Holy
were.
Holy shit.
Sure
and,
they were.
I mean, Tommy Dreamer is the, you know,
the
at the end of the day,
boy.
He's the face of fucking ECW.
Yes.
You can make an argument for that, sure.
Yeah. So I don't really have a problem with that.
No, I don't have a problem with it either. Pat has a problem with it.
Bubba Ray isn't the face of what...
He's the face of TNA. TNA invaded the House of Hardcore.
But if the whole point of it is old school... you know, revisiting ECW pay-per-view.
But you can't.
That's
keep,
not the match.
But you can't keep having put, Sabu and Shane Douglas.
Yes, you can, because it's only that pay-per-view. It's one pay-per-view.
Was last
Have
time you
seen
saw
Shane Douglas? Have you seen even Sabu is old?
Oh,
dude.
He shaved his head. He looks terrible.
Fucking put RVD back in there. Who cares?
RVD.
Yeah, but RVD is not like. He's not one of these washed-up guys. Like, RVD is still out there plying his trade on Monday nights, mind you.
Yeah.
You know?
I just don't like TNA.
Yeah.
And I also don't like Bub Ray. So.
Oh, fair fine. Enough. There we go.
There's your answer.
How about moving on? Fucking WWE released Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno.
Are you surprised?
Yes.
Really?
Look at
the guys they've released over the years.
I know, but it's... All right, you're right. Never mind. No, you're absolutely right. I get
just
it.
Gave up.
I get it. Like, he doesn't have the build. He's not.
But it's not even that. Like, they put fucking Colt Cabana on TV for what, a couple of weeks, and they get rid of him. They fired Daniel Bryan twice, didn't they?
Yeah.
He was in developmental. They got rid of him. He came back. They fired him to prove a point, to fucking to kowtow to advertisers. I mean.
Because he fake choked someone.
He fucking
with a tie.
He really leaned back on that. Like, you watch that.
That's fine, but that's what it is. You're
I'm
supposed
not
to make
been,
some.
I know.
You're supposed to make
been,
it where you think, oh, someone's getting fucking choked to death.
I'm not saying he should have been fired, but I was like, whoa, he's fucking choking the shit out of him.
It's just unfortunate because Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno, whatever you want to call him,
yeah,
an amazing talent.
Yeah, but you also look at his former partner Claudio, and Claudio's having some fucking great success. He's on TV every week. He's wrestling high profile matches. He's fucking. He's got a
yeah,
great thing going.
Claudio's a fucking beast, though.
And Chris Hero's not?
Chris, what they're saying, and Chris Hero's put out a release.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, not really burying anybody, but just saying his piece. Their big thing, and we'll never know because we don't work for WWE, was that he was lazy, he wouldn't get in shape, he doesn't have the build. They wanted him to bulk up.
There's got to be more to it than that.
I'm
you
sure
have
there
Bray
is.
Bray Wyatt on TV, for Christ's sakes. Think
you,
about it.
You really...
If, listen... If you have a shitty build or if you have a different build, that's not the be-all, end-all. They probably had some fucking image for him in mind when they came up with Cassius Ohno, and they're like, he's not really fitting the image.
Yeah, but if you're late, if they're claiming that you're lazy, I mean, why are you going to... If it comes down to me and you, and I'm a lazy fuck, and I want to sit home and eat potato chips on the couch and watch TV, and you want to go to the gym and bust your ass and spend extra time at the school... or the training center or whatever, obviously they're not going to fucking give me the time of day just because of my past.
This is true.
So, I mean...
Are those Luchador socks?
Yeah. I got them for my brother. Gave me them for Christmas.
My brother.
So Chris Hero released, took him all of 3 days to get booked everywhere.
Everywhere, including Pro Wrestling Syndicate and Dragon Gate USA this weekend.
Yes, this
okay.
weekend.
But really, if any legitimate developmental talent got released, it's the same story.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But, you know, strike while the iron's hot. Take advantage. The guy's
yeah,
got like
but
seven...
But you say it like that wasn't going to be the case.
Well, I didn't
Everyone's
hope that.
Jumping at the opportunity to sign this guy.
No, they're jumping at the opportunity because everybody wants to be able to beat their chest and go, hey, look, we got Chris Hero first. That's what they want
to
do.
Well, only one person's going to be able to say that.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Yes.
They got him first.
And you know what's going to be funny? I can't wait to hear the fallout on Monday that Pro Wrestling Syndicate had like 3,000 people show up for Chris Hero and Dragon Gate USA only had 25 paid.
Well, I will be able to tell you the truth. So I'm
awesome.
Going to Pro Wrestling Syndicate Saturday with my brother because the Insane Clown Posse will be there. Jesse is a huge juggalo.
And you have the wireless. Your brother can do interviews for us.
If he wants to.
Yo, yo, yo.
And then Sunday, I am going to Brooklyn. For
I
the...
jerk off in condoms, okay? Sorry, Jess.
Your password isn't really clowns, is it?
And then Sunday, I'm going to the Dragon Gate show where it's Gargano Hero as the main event. So
a Gargano Hero. Is that like a number five at the Italian restaurant? Yo, let
I
me
wish.
Get a Gargano
it's
Hero.
And prosciutto.
A Gargano Hero. Give
Gabagool.
Lettuce and tomato. Extra oil vinegar.
Hey, hey, yo.
So that's really the only...
A Gargano Hero. That's the name of the episode.
Really, you're not going to put Dunn or O'Reilly in it?
O'Reilly?
Oh, really?
It's going to be O-R-L-Y-D-U-N. Or O'Reilly Dunn.
O'Reilly Dunn.
So that's pretty much the only interesting things going on in the world of professional wrestling right now.
All
right. So in my opinion. Apparently, they taped SmackDown tonight, and when it was over, Steven Regal went in the ring, and he knocked out John Cena.
Yeah, but they only do that to placate to the crowd over in jolly old England. That's why. That's the only... Man, that Shining Wizard... You know, I designed that at work.
Which one?
The Shining Wizards Network one. That's my own design.
Looks good.
Right?
Yeah.
I do good work when I'm bored.
What about you, Pat? What do you think?
About what?
The t-shirts.
I think the Shining Wizards Network one looks like the NWO shirt.
It's the idea.
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's corny.
So what would
you... I'm sorry. It's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, Tony.
Thanks for the show support.
What was your discussion? Roundtable.
Yes. Good night, everyone.
You can go either way.
I prefer straight.
I know you do. Shame on you. The greatest thing that ever happened to professional wrestling, or the worst thing that ever happened to professional wrestling? And I will submit to you my worst thing. It could be a match, could be a finish, could be a decision, could be a feud that didn't
work, anything,
and it's the greatest of the worst. And the worst thing to me that ever happened in professional wrestling is Bret Hart signing with WCW.
Worst ever. Really?
Yes.
Why?
I feel like he could have done so much better and had much more success in WWF. He was their premier talent at the time. I don't think that feud was done with him and Shawn. He was completely misused in WCW. He ended his career on a goofy, shitty fucking gimmick that was in WCW. I don't think his brother would have died. To be honest with you, I don't think his brother would have been doing that gimmick.
Didn't Eddie once say on the show that it was Shawn Michaels' fault that Owen died?
You could construe it any way you want. I still think the Vince McMahon angle would have happened. There's a lot there with Austin that could have happened. He could have feuds with The Rock. He could have feuds with Jericho when he got there. He could have feuds with... He could have kept the Hart Foundation together. I think WCW would have tanked a little sooner because I think more people would have stayed tuned in to WWF. But then it just... I think it's the worst thing. Because the modern era, the Attitude Era, was the most popular ever in wrestling history, I think you have to pick something that's in that time frame. And Bret Hart signing with WCW was the worst possible thing that could happen to wrestling.
Those are pretty valid arguments.
It is a valid argument. And it makes sense because... He was anti-Attitude Era, so he would have been the biggest heel.
He already was at that point.
Yeah, but it was so much more.
Excellent dynamic because he was over everywhere else. It was kind of like Cena. Like, Cena's over and hated. He's a heel and a face at the same time everywhere. Bret Hart was a heel and a face, but at different times at different locations.
And you could have done a whole McMahon-Bret Hart against Steve Austin.
Well... Do you think signing with WCW was the mistake, or do you think the decision to take away his contract was the mistake?
Well, he could have... They're not mutually exclusive. You could have taken the contract away but still paid to play.
Yeah, like maybe Vince was the one that made the mistake by even telling Bret, no, hey, you know what, can't pay you, we're going to breach.
Everything that occurred that led to Bret signing with WCW is probably the worst thing that happened in professional wrestling.
That whole turn of events,
yes.
Everything.
So
from...
I can't. It's not. It's too complex to be any one person's
and you
fault.
Can't...
Like, you can't blame Vince McMahon. You can't blame Bret Hart. You can't.
No,
blame
I understand,
Shawn Michaels,
but you can't.
Blame the fans.
Well, you can blame Vince because Vince was the one that set it all in motion. Said, "Sorry, Bret, we can't pay you." After he promised him a 20-year deal.
Yeah, but it takes two to tango. Bret could have said, "All right, let's renegotiate. I understand the business is what it is. The draw isn't this. There's a lot of egos involved." I mean, you can point to one, but
I think Bret was going to leave regardless because I just think his relationship with Shawn Michaels was just getting really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, but you can fight for your spot.
I understand, but when you've got Shawn Michaels,
put me in a program with Stone Cold, put me in a program with The Rock, put me in a program with this guy. They would have done it.
He was in a program with Stone Cold.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of the most, it launched Stone Cold's career.
Would you say that was the best thing that ever happened to wrestling?
I can't think of one event or one decision or one thing that was the best thing that ever happened to wrestling. Probably Rock and wrestling was the best thing to happen to wrestling.
You don't think that all starts with Hogan beating the Iron Sheik?
You know, what about Austin Mike Tyson?
I don't think that's significant enough.
You don't think so?
I would have to say putting the belt on. See, all my stuff is skewed more towards the Attitude Era just because it was so white hot. It's putting the belt on Foley.
I think I know what my biggest mistake in wrestling history was.
Yes.
I think Vern Gagne not putting the AWA title on Hulk Hogan. Because that one decision with booking, and I know it wasn't just one match, but that was booked for months where he was just going to keep losing to Bach. You know, not losing to Bachwinkle, but not getting the title from Bachwinkle, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you know, Vince realized how hot Hogan was and said, you know what? Vern doesn't want to treat you like that. We'll put the belt on you right away. We'll be off and running.
Yeah, I mean, that led to... Vince McMahon isn't Vince McMahon without Hulk Hogan, but Hulk Hogan isn't Hulk Hogan without Vince McMahon.
True, but that decision that Vern Gagne made to keep refusing, it's like the whole situation with Daniel Bryan. Every time Hogan goes out to face Nick Bockwinkel for the title, he gets disqualified in a reverse decision because he tossed him over the top and it was a bullshit toss. Or Nick Bockwinkel purposely gets counted out. Whatever the booking was, it was like every time they thought Hogan was going to win, Hogan never wins. I mean, the fucking crowds were ready to riot when they reversed
but
the decision.
Do you think that would have stopped Vince from plucking Hogan out of AWA then? Like,
yeah, if you think
Rude
the belt's on
him,
it makes any difference.
Yeah, I don't
think it would have mattered. I don't know how much of it would have changed the course of Hogan's career, but I don't think it would have mattered. I think he still would have ended up in the WWF.
I don't know if Vince, because Vince wasn't, when Hogan fell, everybody came after him, you know? It was much easier for him to start plucking people, you know, from the Pacific Northwest or from Mid-South or from, you know, from the AWA or anywhere else. That I think Hogan getting plucked was the start of everybody else, you know, leaving for the greener pastures of WWF.
So
I think if Vern puts the belt on Hogan, Vince looks for other avenues. He looks for somebody else maybe that can step up and take that place that he has in his mind.
Yeah, but I can flip that around and say that was the greatest thing to happen to wrestling when Vince signed Hogan.
True, but that comes out of the first decision by Vern not to put the belt on Hogan.
Yeah, but I don't think wrestling doesn't get to where it is without that happening.
Vern.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why it's the worst decision.
But also the best.
True. Double-edged sword. Dildo, whatever.
You got one on either side, man?
I do. I have a worst. The Magnum TA car accident.
Wow.
Worst event, yeah.
That's
I mean,
a
that
good
changed...
One.
There were big plans for him. Well, okay.
That could also be the best.
Okay.
Nikita Koloff stepped up. Sting.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Iron Sheik getting busted together.
Nah.
They had big plans for Duggan.
I think the Magnum TA Ric Flair feud could have carried the NWA.
Yeah, dude.
For at least 2 years.
And Magnum TA was coming off of some hot shit with Tully Blanchard. His matches with Tully were fucking amazing.
I don't look at Dungan. I don't look at Dungadeer Stains.
Wow, we have so many great titles for tonight.
I don't see him as that guy.
Oh, really? Dun Dungadeer?
Yeah, but do you not see him as that guy because we never saw his full potential reach? Like, he was... Like, what if Rocky Maivia was all you ever knew with a rock?
Flex Cavana.
I just don't feel like... I don't think I could have
Magnum TA was the complete package.
I think so.
He was world championship.
And
material.
I think Duggan peaked in Mid-South. And I think a lot of people are finally getting around to seeing that with the WWE releasing the Mid-South DVDs. His feud with DiBiase, in the Mid-South was unfucking believable. And I think that he got saddled with that hokey...
half a retard gimmick?
Yeah, half a retard USA thing.
He's got snots hanging out of his...
I think that he got saddled. Like, that was a little ridiculous. Like, Hogan was like, eat your vitamins, say your prayers.
All right, when did Duggan and the Sheik get busted? Was that before WrestleMania 4?
Someone say something while
that's a big that's a big kayfabe break right there.
All right, let me ask you this. What about Honky Tonk Man threatening to walk out with the Intercontinental belt, which leads to Randy Savage winning the tournament, not having DiBiase walk out of WrestleMania 4 with the title?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you're talking about someone getting a shot before they eventually would have.
Yeah, but it puts DiBiase as champion, and you have a heel leading the organization.
Yeah, but DiBiase was over no matter what. He didn't need a belt, and they even gave him a belt. He created a belt. Like, Savage would have been over no matter what.
Yeah, this is true. But it was a different time. Really, it was a different time for championships in the WWF back then.
It's not really earth-shattering. The ramifications of it don't really...
They really booked the Intercontinental belt as if it was an NWA title. And the WWF title was mostly a prop for the number one babyface.
Well, it went to the... historically, the Intercontinental title was recognition of the best worker.
Yeah, but it was also the belt that you can have a heel hold on to it and have a face chase him, you know, and, you know, not win the thing, but get closer every time.
If you were a heel in WWF and you had the belt, you needed, like, I don't know, you needed a manager, you needed someone to speak for you. I feel like Intercontinental title was the same way. You can get away with not being, you could be a face, like Ricky Steamboat. Wasn't going to be the world champion in WWF. You can put the Intercontinental title on him if you want to, but he's not a baby face enough. He can't stand on his own 2 feet for the world title. Yeah. When did this happen, Bowman?
1987.
That was the arrest?
Yes.
So wait, so WrestleMania 1 was 85. What time in 87?
Doesn't say.
Oh, fuck. Because that's either before WrestleMania 3 or WrestleMania 4. If it's late... I don't remember when that happened.
Khosro Vasson is the Iron Sheik's real name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know that? That's his Twitter name.
No, I don't. I don't have Twitter. We established this early on in the episode, Tony. I don't follow fucking
you twat.
Facebook or.
That was a good. That was a good topic.
Thank you.
I'm fucking tired. I have to put this episode together. So, we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Matt's in the toilet.
Matt pisses. He's like a bitch. He pisses every 5 minutes.
I got a bladder like a 12-year-old girl. I'm fucking... I piss a lot, too. So.
Yeah, but you didn't piss nearly as much as this.
I pissed twice.
This is his fifth time.
You keeping count?
Yes. How could you not? I can't really see. Oh. We have a network, Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. We have 9 great shows, including Apex Radio and the Forms of Punk Radio Spectacular, Pro Wrestling 101 with Just Incredible, 2.5 Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker Podcast, Our Show, and The Fallen Angels. I hope I didn't miss anyone. Oh, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Phil and Dave. How did I forget those guys? They rule the roost. SWN.ShiningWizards.com. Be a mark, buy the shirt. We have 3 awesome shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. If you're starting your holiday shopping, if you're buying anything from Amazon.com, do so through shiningwizards.com. Click the Amazon link. Doesn't cost you a penny. Kicks a little bit to us. We use that money to support Matt's cocaine habit.
I don't have a cocaine habit.
Why do you think he speaks that way?
Because I'm a retard.
So seriously, so we have to get him un-retard lessons.
He gets numb tongue from all the white powder.
Yes. So help us out. It supports the show. It doesn't cost you a penny. If you want to make a donation, we got a donation button there. We haven't got a donation in like a year and a half now. So if you don't love us, buy a shirt. You'll get a nice t-shirt out of it. You get to have our logo or some other shit on your chest other than regular shit on your chest.
German woman shit?
Unless that's your thing. And then you can have somebody shit on our shirt and take a picture of it and send it to us. We'll put it right up on the page next to Bill Apter. wearing our shirts.
Oh, don't pick on poor Bill Apter.
I'm not picking on Bill Apter. I'm just saying if somebody takes a shit on your chest while you're wearing one of our shirts, we'll be happy to put it up on the page for you.
Lopez is already on that, right? This isn't even live. It's not even up yet, and he's already on it.
He just heard something in his head. He turned around. He's like, what's that?
Honey, get over here. Shit on my chest.
I will be at Pro Wrestling Syndicate this Saturday night.
Nice segue.
With Eddie and Kevin, although they will be doing boring things. I will be watching wrestling, and I might have to have some cocktails in the parking lot beforehand so I can
muster up. Except for the tails part.
Muster up the energy to talk to
some
wrestlers.
He's going to have cock in the parking lot.
Lots of good stuff going on there. Insane Clown Posse is going to be there. Big Van Vader, Just Incredible, The Blue World Order, Bonesaw, and much more. ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Check them out. Ooh, Chris Hero is making his return.
Chris Hero.
And then Sunday I'm going to the Gargano Dragon Gate Hero. USA show in Brooklyn.
Gargano Hero.
So find me there and say hello to me. A couple shout-outs on the Twitter box.
Shout-out time. Wait, do you want shout-out music?
Yeah, do we have shout-out music?
Shout
it out loud.
I've got music here. Wait a minute.
Got to have a party.
Shout it. Here we go. Shout it out loud. Shout-out music.
I like my shout-out music.
Wait, here, I got a better one.
Can you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck?
I prefer this.
Can you fuck like a horse when we fuck? Can you take every inch of your butt? Can you shit on my chest for good luck?
Oh, what is wrong with you? Quack? No, give me the other music.
Can you quack like a duck when you suck?
Is the video at least up?
No. He's got the sound. Give me the other one. Give me the good one. Come on.
Can you shit on my chest for good luck?
Lopez.
Does he say, can you shit on my chest
yes,
for good luck?
For good luck. And then can you fart on my balls when we fuck?
Big shout out to our buddies, E-Fed Gorillas. Follow them on Twitter at E-Fed Gorillas. Blogtalkradio.com. FW Wrestling /201 something, something, something. E-Fed Gorillas. Follow them on Twitter. They do a podcast about feds, E-Feds,
and gorillas.
And fantasy wrestling.
Fantasy wrestling.
No, don't be rude like that. And then follow our other buddies. Nice shout out to scrolling.
Oh, geekliferadio.com.
There you go. We got to do liners for them, huh?
I already sent them liners. We don't have to do them tonight.
WFFM.biz every Tuesday at noon Pacific. They do a podcast too. Hot Johnny August is our buddy on Twitter at WFMM. WFMM. WFFM? Holy shit. WFFM Johnny A. Follow him at Twitter. Follow the Juice at Twitter.
Follow
JT
the Juice.
Follow ROH O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly. Holy Christmas. We are just fucked, huh?
We're tired, bro. You booked two guests tonight.
It was awesome.
It was, but it's exhausting.
You're exhausting.
Worst decision in the history of Shining Wizards.
What's that?
Booking more than one guest.
Oh, that was perfectly timed.
HarlemShakePoop.com.
Oh, boy. Do I have a closing number?
I don't.
That wasn't it.
One. Shh. I got one. Hold on.
All right.
Do we need any to plug anything else?
Geek Life Radio. We've got a bunch of our shows crossing over to them. We've all got time slots now. I don't know if there's anything else.
Audio
I need to
Boo.
Plug. Audio Boo. Yes, we talked about PJ Pro Wrestling 101. Actually, it is a featured episode this week on the Audio Boo.
PJ.
So don't forget, if you like us, you like what you hear, and you know you do. Head on over to iTunes. Leave us a review.
Gargano.
5 stars, 1 star, whatever.
Did you hit
Show
C-
us you like us.
Did you hit CWE Radio?
CWE Radio, Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment. We are a part of a myriad of podcasts that go live and random replay. It's good times. Go check them out. And I think that's it.
That's it.
Go okay. See Eddie on Saturday.
Is there no volume coming out of this?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe not.
It's going to be loud.
No. Wait. No, there's not.
Oh, what the fuck, bro?
Turn the volume up, bro.
Volume's turned all the way up.
Is it... It's coming through. Why is it not making noise? Oh, I know why. Wait a minute. There we go. Oh, shipping up to Boston. Is this Kyle O'Reilly's music?
It is. Huge thanks to our guests, JT Dunn, Kyle O'Reilly. Support those guys. Support indie wrestling.
Wait,
support
I gotta play
Shining
JT
Wizards.
Dunn's music. You want me to?
No, don't. It's on. It's a rap, buddy.
Karen, you quack.
He stole my interest. He's like,
Karen, you quack. What do you say, Uncle Fred?
Uncle Freddy.
Uncle Freddy. Uncle Freddy died.
Ah, no. Uncle Freddy.
I got nothing.
Turn it off.